ABC Radio Australia.
Welcome back to Pacific Beat. A nationwide protest is taking place in New Zealand, taking aim at the government's policies and a new treaty principles bill. The bill seeks to redefine the Treaty of Waitangi, New Zealand's founding document, but the treaty sets out principles of partnership, participation and protection of New Zealand's indigenous Māori. Supporters of the bill say the controversial establishment of race-based bodies by New Zealand's former government, bodies such as the now disestablished Māori Health Authority, indicates a need to reinterpret the Treaty of Waitangi. However, critics of the bill say the Treaty of Waitangi should not be blamed for the former government's interpretation of it. Many supporters of the bill say the Treaty of Waitangi favours Māori over other ethnicities, and critics of the bill say the treaty was signed by Māori chiefs with the intention of preserving Māori influence. And when the treaty was signed in 1840, the population was predominantly Māori. Now, the bill coincides with controversial policies recently implemented by the current government, such as the changing or the primary names of some public departments from Māori to English. This has caused anxiety for many Māori who fear a redefinition of the Treaty of Waitangi would threaten their land rights, amongst others. The bill is a product of the New Zealand ACT Party, a minor coalition partner of the ruling National Party. Leading that party is New Zealand's Minister of Regulation, David Seymour, and I spoke to him about why this bill is being put forward and why he thinks it's even needed. Look, Mr. Seymour, why do you believe New Zealand needs this treaty principles bill?
For the last 50 years, our treaty has been gradually reinterpreted by the Waitangi Tribunal and the courts as a quote-unquote partnership between races. In practice, that has meant that many government policies have to be divided into a microcosm of this partnership. So you end up with separate seats on the co-governance of water pipes or three waters, which was a major controversy over the last few years. You end up with a separate Māori health authority. You end up with some government departments that have two chief executives, one representing each treaty partner. You end up with an education curriculum where honouring the treaty becomes almost more important than maths and reading and writing. So, you know, this is an interpretation of our treaty that is inherently divisive, and it makes it harder to solve all of the problems that New Zealanders have. Makes it harder for people to be valued for who they are, because you become part of a group rather than an individual with inherent dignity. So for all of those reasons, I believe it's important that we have a proper debate, decide whether New Zealanders really like this partnership interpretation of the treaty. Overwhelmingly, they don't when they're asked in scientific opinion polls. And then say, well, what would we like to have instead? And what my treaty principles bill proposes is principles based on the original Māori text, that the government has the right to govern, that the government has a duty to protect people's rights, including Māori, but not only Māori, and that we all have equal rights before the law, or ngā tikanga katoa riteitahi.
But Mr. Seymour, and I know this question probably has already been asked to you many a times, but for our listeners here in Australia, already since your coalition came to power last year, Māori influence has somewhat maybe slowly phased out in public and political life. I know a law giving Māori a say on environmental questions has been scrapped. The Māori language and public service has been wound back. And even the Māori Health Authority has been abolished. So then critics of this bill say that this is another example of Māori voices being diminished. Again, what's your response to this?
Well, I think what they miss is that we have a cabinet of 20 in our government. Seven of us are Māori. I'm one of them. My whakapapa is no less valid than anyone else's. So it is true that the government has stopped singling out a subset of Māori and saying, you represent and speak for all Māori, and we have to deal with you, otherwise we're ignoring Māori. That's true. We reject that idea that there needs to be seats reserved at the table. However, 7 out of 20, 35% of our cabinet is Māori whakapapa, almost twice as much, roughly twice as much as the proportion of the New Zealand public that has Māori identity. So Māori voices are there. They're just not the voices that have special seats reserved at the table to practice a certain version of what it means to be Māori. And to a large extent, this is a dispute within Māoridom about what it takes to be Māori. I've been called a useless Māori. My colleague Karen Chua has been told she's a plastic Māori. She's been told that she looks at the world through a vanilla lens. Her voice is just as valid as anyone else's. So when people say that Māori voices are being suppressed, that seems to go both ways.
And the expectation, though, Mr. Seymour, is that this bill will be voted down in its second reading. But do you have plans maybe going forward beyond this?
Well, I've said to everyone they should read the bill, let the public have a say, then make up their mind. And that goes for me too. We don't know what its future is. People say they will vote against it, but they haven't seen the public's reaction to it either. I think what will happen, regardless, is that we've now introduced an important idea that everyone who has to live in this country, for most of us, it's the only country we have, we should have a say about our constitutional future. And I think the reason that there is such vocal opposition from some groups is that they don't want, everyday New Zealanders, the great unwashed, to have a say about our constitutional future. They've had a near monopoly on that for 50 years. That's why it's truly controversial.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, if this bill does not make it, to a referendum, maybe through political channels, are you considering then to start a citizen-initiated referendum?
No, I've ruled that out. I mean, others may do that, but I don't think that that's practical. And, of course, New Zealand's had a number of citizens-initiated referenda. The problem is that they're not actually binding. So generally they get people's hopes up and then they disappoint people. So I don't favour that approach.
But you welcome the protest or the hikoi that is happening at the moment. What would be your message, though, to those who are joining that protest?
Well, they say kill the bill. I say read the bill and tell me what exactly is here that you feel will disadvantage you. Doesn't stop you having language and culture. Doesn't stop us working for a more equitable world through health and housing and education, more jobs and higher pay. Those are all worthwhile objectives that we should continue to pursue. However, when it comes to disrupting traffic, making other people's lives harder, doing it in the time when a lot of young people have their school exams that they see as the culmination of their life's work and education so far, you've got to ask yourself, why are they doing this?
But at a point, you must see the reality of the struggle of some people who do find that it comes off as an unfair advantage. Your response to that?
Well, I see people struggle, and I think we should do everything we can to alleviate that, mainly by creating the conditions for people to overcome their challenges on their own terms, because that's how you build self-esteem. But you can do that without having to have a constitutional setting that says our treaty was a partnership and therefore your role in society depends on your background or who your ancestors were. The big problem with that view, by the way, is that if you tell people that a lot of what decides their fate today actually happened hundreds of years ago, then you're disempowering them. If you say we are all free and equal, we all have challenges and choices, and we all have the same freedoms under the law, then you're empowering people. And that's what I think is so important, empowerment for people to overcome their challenges.
Mr. Seymour, it is great to talk to you this morning. We really appreciate your time.
Likewise. Thank you.
That is New Zealand ACT Party leader and Minister of Regulation, David Seymour.